Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
It's not about the cars, the speed, the action. It's not about the party or the long weekend. It's about them, the ones that gave everything. This Memorial Day weekend, we honor the fallen at America's Home for Racing. The 65th running of the Coca-Cola 600.
This week's episode of Zero Block 30 is brought to you by our friends at SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the place that I go whenever I go to the games. I went to the Jaguars-Buffalo Bills game. I use SeatGeek. I was going to go this week to the AFC Championship game, but I got put in the electric chair. But if I was going to go, I would use SeatGeek. SeatGeek makes it incredibly easy. Just a few taps and you can find the best seats. They actually have it listed in the app, which good seats. Because sometimes if you go to a visiting stadium, like me going to New England, I've never been, you don't know what sight lines are good. And some stadiums, older stadiums, have really shitty sight lines. SeatGeek gives you a rating of where the seat actually is. We used it when we went to the Army-Navy game, and we had great seats. We were on like the second deck, second row, where it was perfect seats from the end zone. It was basically like watching coaches film. It was awesome. And we did all that with SeatGeek. You can use SeatGeek today to save $10 off your first purchase if you use the promo code CHAPS. That's SeatGeek. Enter the promo code CHAPS in the app, and you're going to get $10 off. Like our friends over at Part of My Take say, that's like us buying you your first beer. It's Zero Block 30 time. We're going to spend a little time in the platoon room. Let's get fucking weird and let's fucking go. But shout out to you for getting suspended on Twitter.
Back. What'd you get suspended for?
Well, the Long Island Railroad had two separate 15-minute delays on my commute in yesterday.
Right.
And I tweeted at the MTA that I hope they die from eating Tide Pods, and they suspended my account.
Which I think is a pretty clear joke.
Exactly, which is why I was very upset about it. Yeah. Like I probably liked and retweeted like 24 tweets yesterday and then got the notification that, hey, you have to wait this long until your Twitter account is back. And then this morning, I get on the platform and there's a huge block of ice right on the edge of the platform. I almost slipped and fell into the train tracks.
I can't believe you almost got injured.
Yeah, almost. I was so close.
Almost. Thank you for your service on the train this morning.
The Long Island Railroad is well known for being quite inept at doing their job, so I do not harbor any sort of ill will towards you and what you tweeted. And Chaps, it's always good to have you in studio, buddy.
It's good to be here.
Unexpected trip. We did not have you planned on coming this week.
No, I mean, I knew I was going to come up sometime soon, but I'm honestly a little disappointed to be here. Usually I'm happy to be in New York, but I wanted to be, truth be known, I wanted to be at the game because Dave's like, it's not that big of a deal as AFC Championship game. Fuck you, Patriots fan. Yes, it is a big deal. Like, my Jags have only done it three times. This is the third time they've ever done it.
Right.
And haven't done it since 1999. So it's been a bit. Kate is an Eagles fan, so she's also flying high, soaring high.
Flying high. Pretty excited. Mostly because all my uncles and family are in a good mood right now.
Yeah, happy Eagles fans is a weird sight to see.
Yeah, what are angry Eagles fans like?
It's not a pretty scene.
I think we all know what angry Eagles fans look like.
The like tossing Smitty. Of the batteries.
The attacks on Santa Claus.
A lot of peeing your pants in the parking lot.
Pissed dogs.
just not ugly. Not pretty.
So we want to spend a little time every now and then just doing platoon room shit because we can get caught up in talking about, like, important stuff. We talk about politics. We talk about wars. We have guests on who talk about their extreme experiences in different types of combat zones. But that is not 95% of what you do in the military. It's just fucking not. Like, you don't talk about serious shit all the time. Most of the time you talk about dumb stuff. So we want to get together every now and then and kind of do that thing. And I saw a story this week that really exemplifies that, and we're going to walk through it a little bit. It's probably one of my favorite stories I've seen on Reddit or Instagram in a long time. So let me set the scene. A young man went over to a buddy's house for the very first time. This dude and his family were known for taking enormous shits. Like, the entire family just shit really, really big all the fucking time. So much so that this family had a knife that was dedicated to cutting the poop so it could fit down the toilet. And they called it the poop knife. It was just so common in their family's vernacular, going back like generations of having the poop knife. and they would keep this rusty, poopy knife that I assumed that they would, like, rinse off, hanging up in the laundry room.
Wow.
So they had the poop knife. So the dude grew up his entire life thinking that a poop knife is a normal thing because his entire family does.
Yes, and because why not?
Right, and that's how, if you get raised with something normal, like my mom, for example, shout out, I know she's listening, but I'm going to blast you right now, Mom. So she uses a word frustrated, right? It's a combination of flustered and frustrated. When I was in college, the very first time, because that word was in my vernacular, I thought it was an actual English word.
Oh, man.
So I would write it, like, into Microsoft Word, and I always get squiggled. I'm like, well, then how the fuck do you spell frustrated if that's there? So this dude's poop knife was his version of frustrated.
Right.
So he was at, like, a girlfriend's house or a friend's house, and he was like, hey, I'm sorry, but I need the poop knife to, like, just other people in a different family. And they're like, you need a what?
I'll tell you, it's one thing if you go to someone's house, especially for the first time, and you have to ask for a plunger. Because you say, I need a plunger, automatically everybody knows what's up. But if you
and
come
you don't
out...
And you don't want other people to think you poop, either.
No, no, not
like
at
when
all.
You, when somebody first meet somebody, you're like, I absolutely don't poop. Never have, never will.
No, I mean, maybe I'll poop before I get there or hold it till after. I don't want to do it while I'm there. But then to come out of the clouds and say, hey, where do you keep your poop knife? I mean, the looks he must have gotten.
Because it's not even a plunger. It's not stuck. It's just like it has the toilet's not stuck yet.
No.
You just know that it's going to be, and you got to get it down the hole. Like
it's a preemptive measure.
Like a Pringles can sitting in the bottom of the toilet.
What are they eating?
I don't know.
I don't think it's the diet. It's a family thing. I think that some families just produce bigger poops than others.
That's true.
I mean, I don't know this. Kate, what do you think?
Our local radio station was just talking about this the other morning, and some guy called in and was talking about the poop knife, or turd cutter, as I like to call it. But
see, I think you got to be careful there, because turd cutter could easily be asshole. We froze up, Andrew.
So, looks like we're connected. Kate, can you hear me?
Yes.
Awesome. Yep, there you are.
There she is.
I'm an asshole.
I know you're probably freaking out, but don't. It's not a big deal at all. All right,
can
you pick up your train of thought there? I'll lead you into it.
Okay, thanks.
All right. So, Kate, what do you think about the old poop knife?
It was actually a topic on our local radio station this week, and a plumber called in to say that a lot of times he sees spatulas in people's bathrooms.
Okay.
There we go.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Can a woman just tell her poop spatula story?
Yeah. All right, here we go again. Take four.
Okay. Sorry.
Okay, what do you think about the poop knife? Oh, wait, before you go in, full disclosure, this is like the fourth time I've led into that question. So if it's all discombobulated, it's fine because we're experiencing some technical difficulties. But Kate, tell us one time for the freshest of memories, what do you think about the poop knife?
Well, it was actually a topic on our local radio station this week. It
no
was.
Shit.
I know, hard to believe. I'm sure you've never heard that. But a plumber called in and said that he sees spatulas a lot in people's bathrooms. And that whenever he sees that, he knows, like, that's their turd cutter. Like, that's what they use to. And he said it's mostly the ones who need it are children and the elderly. Because children are, like, new machines. They're pumping out, like, solid ones. And then the elderly are, like, breaking down.
Really,
so they got some weird stuff going on.
Yeah, my grandma told me one time that she only pooped like once every 9 days.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's a long time to go, man.
I mean, yeah, it gets clogged up inside your system, and it hardens, I'm sure, and it just gets more difficult to come out. So then when it does come out,
it's painful. Got to be painful.
And you need that poop knife, or in Philadelphia's case, a poop spatula.
Yeah.
But what are you doing with a spatula? Like, you're flattening it? Like, what are you doing? You're flipping it?
It's like, you know, whenever you're cooking, like, chili. So you have ground beef that's still kind of frozen.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And you're like, using it as, like, a knife, but it's not really a knife because you don't want to scratch up your really nice pans that you got for Christmas because they're Kefalon fans, so, like, pans, so you don't want to mess them all up.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not going to use a knife. You're going to use, like, a plastic spatula.
I have a would you rather. Would you rather take one extremely painful poop a week or have Chaps' mother-in-law's diarrhea?
Oh, fuck.
Wow.
Oh.
Like the first one, like you said, very hard, painful, excruciatingly painful, or just spend an entire week just hunched over the toilet.
Easy painful poop.
Yeah.
Because either way you're doing pain, and you're going to do pain 8 or 9 times a day or one.
And with the diarrhea, you got to think you're causing yourself discomfort because you can only wipe so much before you start to get raw, and that just becomes an issue when you're walking. So it becomes a week-long issue versus an issue for maybe 10 minutes.
Let's go back to the poop knife for a second.
Let's circle back on that poop knife.
I don't think we've given it its due yet. Now, location-wise, because military folks were big location, you have a 10-digit grid, which you can find anything within a meter with a 10-digit grid.
Roger.
I think with a poop knife, you want your poop knife within a 10-digit grid of the bathroom.
Yeah, you don't want to be having to drag that thing across your bathroom, through your bedroom, down the hall, back into the kitchen, just dragging poop juices on the poop knife.
That was the main source of, like, I understand that you have a thick shit.
Mm-hmm.
But my friend, why is it in the laundry room? Like, Kate, what other places could it be? Like, I'm thinking a little hook, like you drill a hole in your dedicated poop knife in the back and you hang it on like a little hook inside your cabinet of your bathroom.
Right.
Or maybe even on the back of the toilet.
I hide my poop spatula like a mafia gun.
There we go.
You know, underneath the lid.
Yeah.
So that nobody.
See, the lid's a good spot too. But if you have children with thick shits like Bren was talking about, if you have a thick shit kid, the lid of the toilet can get pretty heavy.
Yeah. And also, I want to know how often.
Heavy, quiet, high quality porcelain.
Yeah. At what point do you just say, you know what, we just have to invest in a higher powered toilet? You know, the ones you see at like the airport or stadiums that really suck the bejesus out of everything.
Okay. Now, yeah, that's a good point, because occasionally people fly in planes.
Right.
If you're a thick shitter and you have a poop knife, you can't get that thing through TSA.
No.
So that actually happened to me on one flight.
I couldn't pack a poop knife?
I mean, everybody knows I've had diarrhea since Easter of 2007, so it wasn't my shit. But there was this very obese woman who went to the bathroom before me. She lumbered lazily to the bathroom, mm-hmm. if I can use an alliteration. She lumbered lazily to the bathroom. I was next. I had a couple of gin and tonics, and I needed to pee. Mm. Like, that's what happened. It's a 3-hour flight, so you need to go pee. I go in there directly after her. She goes by me, and then I go in. My friend, there was a thick shit sitting on there. And there's no poop knife. There's nothing that you can cut it down with. That bad boy, now that I think about it, it might actually not have been hers. It could have been the person before hers, and she just did a piss. And there was a chain reaction. And in my mind, for the last 7 months, I've thought about that woman shitting her ass on the plane, and that was her shit. But in reality, it could have been Gary in seat 12B that did it.
Probably was Gary.
Who do you think
Always
it was,
Gary.
Kate? Gary?
Definitely Gary.
Fuck Gary. 100%. If your name is Gary, you have thick shits.
Mm-hmm.
That's a thick shit sounding name.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
My question, the other question I have in my head, though, is how often are you using the poop knife or poop spatula? Is this an every time you use the bathroom it's necessary? Because obviously, depending on diet, depending on how often you go, your consistency of your stool is going to change. So I'm thinking this might not be a tool that is required each time you drop a deuce.
I mean, I don't want to say that it's not. Yeah. It can't be an everyday thing. Just like the basic science of density, like, would say that you can't eat that much.
I feel like guys on deployments might need a poop knife. If you're a poop knife guy and you're deployed, you might need a poop knife every time you go.
That's the beauty of the MRE spoon.
Yeah, there you go. It doubles as a poop knife.
It's a little bit of everything. The MRE spoon is one of the greatest tools that you could possibly have.
Yeah, well.
And the MRE stools are the greatest stools you could possibly
have. Yeah, we had quite a discussion going on Twitter.
Let's get into that
recently about MRE and what happens after one consumes an MRE. Kate, what was that all about?
Yeah, basically, if you eat MREs in the field for a month, they say that there's, chemicals to help preserve the food or mm-hmm. something, and I guess it really stops you up. So if you're eating them for a long time, you just stop pooping, and then all of a sudden you have this, I wrote a story for Doppelblog once. It was PFC gives birth to, 9-pound, 10-ounce MRE food baby.
Yeah.
Because you, really do store it up over time, and some people say, oh, that's not true. But other people are like, oh, no, I've been in the field and my shit was heinous at the end when I finally like pooped at like a month later. So.
Yeah, because it's like you have a tube of cookie dough
right
in your asshole that's constantly getting melted out a little bit more, and you're just like wiping for an hour and a half.
Yeah, and I guess scientifically it makes sense because you got the food preservatives, so maybe when it's in your stomach, and I'm just thinking out loud here, I'm not a doctor, but maybe when it's in your stomach, it gets preserved in your stomach and it doesn't digest, it doesn't want to go away because it's trained, that food is trained to stick around for longer.
Well, if you're in a combat zone, if you're doing combat operations, you would much rather a platoon be constipated rather than having the shits. I mean, that's just pretty common sense. Like, you would want them to be... That's kind of like the Jell-O. There's a big rumor about Jell-O at boot camp that the Jell-O at Marine Corps boot camp, because you're there for 13 weeks,
right,
is like it won't let you get an erection. Have you ever heard that, Kate?
I have never heard that.
Yeah, that they put a chemical in there so dudes aren't like walking around with boners and shit, like, because you're showering nut to butt, like really right. nut to butt. And so the theory was that nobody ever got boners like standing there, and even like morning wood, nothing. You like just you're boner free for basically 13 weeks. And when we got to MCT, the next step, or SOI, a very common conversation was like, did they put shit in the Jell-O to make you not have a boner? Because you like trace through like, no, I didn't eat the peanut butter every day. Ooh. I did eat the Jell-O though. And everybody eats the Jell-O because the Jell-O is delicious.
It's good. Oh, wow. That's really disheartening if that is true. But I guess it does make sense. But then when you get to MCT, do they put something else in the Jell-O to then counter
that? No,
because
you have 10 days of boot leave after boot camp. So you're back to boners. After that.
Back to boners.
Yeah, you're back on boners. And plenty of people fuck at MCT, too, because that's the first time that Marines are, like, there together, like, male and female. Because in boot camp, we don't hang out together. We never even see each other. You have to, like, avert your eyes. Did you guys have to do that when male Marines or male recruits would walk by? Did you have to avert your eyes?
Yes, we did. They always made us turn the other way.
Yeah, you weren't even allowed to see each other.
Wow, that seems just so medieval. But what was that like if we're working with no boners for males in Marine boot camp? What was the female equivalent, Kate?
Ooh. Yeah, I had zero. You feel so gross when you're in boot camp anyway that, like, you just have
zero drive.
Desire
yeah.
at all. Yeah.
So they just keep you dirty, is what you're saying.
A lot of buffer talks, too, like weapon-wise.
That was the rumor with us, was that we used the buffers from our rifles as
dildos. Yeah. Talking dildos. So instead of like a water-based or oil-based lube, it was like CLP, like the cleaning lubricant product that people like. Yeah. She's got a
old CLP.
She's got a weaponized vagina because she used the buffer, like took it apart. And I actually know drill instructors who said that they had seen like female recruits do because they are.
That rumor has to come from somewhere.
They're shaped like penises. They really are.
Yeah.
I mean, a really fucked up penis, like, no disrespect, but, like, Jay Williams, like...
Sure.
He had his dick pics come out this week. Not good. Actually bad.
Yeah, like, yeah.
Not a good thing to happen.
But CLP could get messy, because that stuff, that's the type of oil that gets on you, and it just seems like it never gets off. So I can't imagine going to town on yourself with CLP.
And the
CLP.
Number one warning about CLP is that you can't touch it when you're pregnant.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Didn't
you get
that
all the time?
I went to boot camp in 2008. I'm still trying to get the CLP out of there.
It lasts a long time. It's better than an IUD. There we go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm on CLP, so it's fine. Yeah. You know?
What kind of birth? Is that what you tell them at the VA when you go?
You go
to late. What are you on? I'm still on CLP. I'm a little more sexually active than I would like to, so I'm using the winter kind. The winter kind is even stronger.
Yeah.
If you want to get a lady pregnant, the best way to do it will probably start out by wearing a dynamite suit, a dynamite tuxedo even. I am going to go to the Super Bowl if the Jags make it.
Right.
And there's going to be all kinds of parties. I've decided I'm going to wear a tuxedo.
The entire time?
Yeah, because we're doing this ad reads, this company that I'm about to tell you about, the Black Tux Good Look, they sent us some tuxedos where we got to try them on. It's premium tuxedos, suits, and all that kind of shit. Anything that you would need to look like a super fancy boy. They actually sent it to us. I look fucking dynamite, man. Like, sent them in my measurements and all mm-hmm. that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I usually hate wearing tuxes. I hate wearing suits. But there's something about it when you actually get it on and you look at yourself in the mirror, you're like, oh, shit.
It's a boost of confidence,
but
believe me.
If you get a shitty tuxedo.
Oh, it's horrible.
Shitty tux, shitty suit, because people look at you like, do you remember how Michael Jordan looks?
Yes. Like, well, still looks all the time, every day, to this day.
To be
day,
a multi-billionaire, I think, at this point.
He's such an enigma that he dresses so poorly in such poorly fitting clothes.
They're not going to give you denim here. Do you have a wedding or a special event coming up where you need to wear a tuxedo or a suit? Is there something that's coming up where you need to look absolutely fancy? I definitely would recommend that you go with our friends at the Black Tux. They have a free home try-on where you can see the fit, the feel, the quality of your suit months before you go to the event. After ordering, your suit will arrive 14 days before your event. If it's anything less than perfect, the Black Tux will send you a free replacement right away. When the event's over, just drop the rental back in the mail. Shipping is always free both ways. And you're going to get 20% off your purchase with us because theblacktux.com/chaps. That's theblacktux.com/chaps. Theblacktux.com/chaps for $20 off your purchase. It's premium rental suits. And I think that the 14 days thing is key because mm-hmm. you don't want to be like stressed out before you go somewhere.
Right.
You want to make sure, because if you do it months in advance, like they said, that you could try it on. If you're like me, you're going to gain a couple LBs here or there.
Yeah.
And you're going to go back and forth and fluctuate on weight. 14 days, you're going to have a better chance. If it doesn't fit, you still have time to send it back and be like, hey, I ate too many of Kate's Christmas cookies. feeling chubby.
Mm-hmm.
The Black Tux, man. It's pretty good. I saw a story this week that was one of my favorite stories. Everybody knows I'm not a huge Trump guy.
No.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again on this. I'm not a huge Trump guy. He did something this week that I thought was outrageously hilarious. When Jim Acosta from CNN is standing behind a couch in the Oval Office, and he looks at President Trump, hears Jim Acosta talk, he just looks over at him, points, waits like 3 seconds, and just says, out.
Yep.
And that's it. And Jim Acosta has to get the fuck out of the room. He knows it's the president saying,
right.
You can't, it's not like you can argue when you're in the Oval Office. I want to find a clip from the West Wing where we can even keep this part in. Fuck it, it's fun. It's platoon room time. Where in the West Wing, President Bartlet is talking to a woman who hosts a psychology show, but she's not actually a psychologist, and they're talking about homosexuals. And President Bartlet like rips her a new asshole, basically. And then she's, like, sitting down while the president talks to her, and President Bartlet says, when the president stands, nobody sits.
Right.
And it reminded me of that, because even if you hate Trump, he's still the fucking president.
You respect
you're
the office.
You're in the Oval Office.
Yeah.
If he tells you to get the fuck out, you get the fuck out.
Yeah, it's not like arguing back with mom and dad.
No.
There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And his facial expression was priceless because
he
just knew. Yeah.
Or Trump, both of
them.
Well,
both of them. Trump, just because it's like, you know, this is not something new to Trump. Trump has probably many times in his life told people to get out, and probably not so politely in other cases. But then Acosta was just so perplexed, and he was almost frozen in his stance because he knew he had to leave and there was no fighting it.
You can't. I mean, Kay, what do you do if the president tells you to get out?
Me personally, I would fight him, but
yeah.
Jim Acosta's not yeah. tough. I would get out. It reminds me of like if you're at PFC cleaning your commander's like office and you're taking out the trash and they're talking in there and they're just like, oh, you get the fuck out, you know? And you're
yeah,
like, okay,
exactly.
Exactly.
I said on the rundown yesterday, it's like you point with your finger and you flick them off like they're a booger.
Right.
Like you just get the fuck out, man.
It's just so demeaning too.
And,
no matter what.
And that kind of stuff happens. I think it's more shocking to civilians. I think if you've spent a little time in the military, that kind of thing is nothing. I mean, because everybody's been junior, whether you're an officer, whether you're enlisted, whatever, you've been super junior and kicked out of countless meetings, countless rooms. You can be in a room hanging out with your entire platoon and two senior people walk in and they tell 40 people to get out and you're like, I mean, there's an office like right next door that you guys could have gone in, but sure, like all 50 of us will leave.
Yeah. Do you have any instances that you can remember from the military when you saw that?
I have several because I was a huge get the fuck out guy.
Okay.
Like, when I was the company gunny, that was like my moment.
Right.
And I still kind of do it with my kids. Like if I'm talking to my kids and the conversation's over, I'm like, okay, now go. And there's no talking back at certain points. Like, I do mentorship and all that stuff. But there's certain occasions where it's appropriate to just be like, the conversation's over. You are not speaking to me or anyone else. You're going to your room. Flick them off like a booger.
How good does that feel? That small instance, like, get out. And it's just, how much joy do you get in a spike? Like,
because I'm really trying. I was a big-time yeller. I think one of the most comments that I get from my former Marines who listen to the show is, you're so much calmer now than you used to be. You're a huge yeller. So I'll give you a couple stories, for example. I had this PFC named PFC Leonard. I'm done with hiding names. I'm done with it. I'm just going to say it out loud.
We're just roasting government names.
So his name was PFC Leonard. Leonard was a nasty motherfucker, man. Like, just everything that you hear about gross junior Marines, this dude encompassed that. Just completely encompassed it, where he didn't shower, he didn't shave. He would come to work with, like, a fucked up uniform. His weapons were always dirty. Basically an NCO failure, like, on his part every single day, because he just wasn't trained properly, or it never really clicked. It would be what commands would call a failure to adapt type situation, where he just was terrible. This kid, for weeks, man, I would tell him, you have got to at least clean your camis.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was, at this point, we couldn't trust him to go do anything important. He basically just had to be my office clerk, where he was filing paperwork, just doing menial tasks, and just being a drain on the government. So at one point, I was like, Leonard, I can smell your fucking dirty-ass dick from in here. And I was a good 20 feet away. And so he comes in, and I just tell him to strip. When he walked in, I was like, get your fucking ass out of my uniform. You're a disgrace to the uniform that you wear. Take it off. And he looked at me, he was like, Staff Sergeant? I was like, take it the fuck off. So I had his sergeant come in. I was like, Sergeant Spray, help him strip this motherfucker down. So, like, he's taking off his blouse, like, he's taking off his trousers, and he's standing there in just whitey-tighties. And I'm like, now you take your dumb ass, get the fuck out, and go back to the barracks. The main road on Quantico, he had to, like, go across this shit.
In underwear.
Yeah, he's walking out of the command building, and our major, our XO, sees him. He's like, Leonard, what in the fuck are you doing? He's like, Staff Sergeant told me get the fuck out. And he's like, but why aren't you in clothes, devil dog? And he's like, Staff Sergeant told me to strip. And Major Riley looked at me. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, you told him to strip? I was like, every time I see him in his uniform, he reminds me of fraud, waste, and abuse. So I don't want to see him in his uniform anymore. I think he's disgusting.
Fair. That's fair.
And the major was like, Staff Sergeant, please come into my office. So then he had a talk with me and told me to get the fuck out because I was in the wrong.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of fucked up, right? Like, I'm trying to be a good – but that's the point of officer enlisted. Mm-hmm. Enlisted guy should 100% go too far, and the officer should bring him back whenever he needs to be brought back.
If I saw a soldier just walking around in tighty whities, I would have an issue with that.
Nothing but combat boots and shit-stained tighty whities.
Yeah,
did his morale improve after that or no?
Oh, no. Like, the major, like, I was like, look, dude, I've done everything that I can for this kid. We just need to process him out. Like, he needs to be administratively separated. Because some people just, even if they graduate boot camp, they're just not fit to be Marines.
Right. Not everyone's meant to be a Marine. Not everyone's meant to be a – I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kate.
No, just kind of unrelated. Do you think he's, like, single now?
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
And Leonard, if you're listening, hit up our girl Kate. Yeah.
Yeah. We had a guy like that that they literally had to walk him through how to shower his body. Like, they would make another Lance Corporal sit in the bathroom with him and make sure he actually cleaned all of his crevices and stuff because he was so disgusting. And, like, field day, you know, you have all night to do it on Thursday night. They make everybody clean the barracks. And the next morning, like, he would have a ton of pizza boxes under his bed and, like, just everything would just be so gross. And if you had the time that night, it's specifically just to, like, clean your shit up. And they had to, like, walk. He was, like, 27, too, and they had to walk him through every single thing when it came to hygiene.
It's crazy to think about. But then you realize that not everyone grows up the same. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say everyone here showers daily. I saw something maybe.
Or takes a bath.
Or takes a bath.
Yeah.
Either way, they clean themselves on a daily basis. I saw something on the internet the other day where there are people that shower once a week and think that's acceptable. And that is just the norm for them growing up. which is mind-blowing when you consider...
In a modern society, I think
absolutely.
Like, depending on your socioeconomic status and shit like that. But, like, if you live here and you're, like, a decently affluent person, not showering daily, or at least every other day is
I feel like plumbing's a pretty basic...
Yeah, yeah.
...thing most people have in this world. So, not showering every day is kind of wild. But that your story reminded me of... It was kind of like a not as boisterous. It was more emasculating. My battalion commander, who is now General Tim Daugherty, he's a big guy. And when we were in Iraq... We had this thing, because he was such a, hopefully he takes this the right way, but he's a meathead. He was a big dude. He was very into lifting and being in shape, and that was a very big, important thing to him. So we had this thing in our battalion called the Big Dog Club. And if you could get on a flat bench and bench 300 or more pounds in front of him and prove to him that you could do it, you were in the Big Dog Club. So it was like a big deal. So one day we're in the gym, and some of my soldiers are working out for them because they want that patch. That's a sign of pride. And when your battalion commander looks at you and values you as a strong soldier, it's very important to a young NCO or a young soldier. And this other battalion commander from a different battalion within our brigade combat team comes over and sidles up next to, at that time, Colonel Daugherty and says, all right, Tim, I'm next. He goes, nah, I don't think so. The bike's over there, buddy. And just tells him, like, you're not doing this. You can't handle this. You're not in the Big Dog Club. Just go get on the stationary bike, pal.
Yeah, that's pretty brutal,
and he
man.
Just had to tuck his and tail and
also,
walk away.
It sucks when your battalion commander is big, too.
Oh.
Because as, like, a young corporal sergeant, you know that you can't ever say anything back to him. You can't argue with him. You can't do anything. But you want in the back of your mind, at least I could fucking whoop your ass, bitch.
Yeah, this guy, like, nobody was whooping this guy's ass.
And so what I did, the same thing when I first got to Quantico, my... Colonel, when I first got there, used to play linebacker at Penn State before he was an officer.
Mm.
So he was just enormous, dude. Like, broke for, I think he still might be the over 40 powerlifting champion of the United States. Like, have the record.
Yeah.
Just a huge motherfucker. So you're getting there. And I was pretty strong when I was in. So I thought I was a strong dude. And I walk in and see this guy. And he's the kind of dude, Kate, you know, whenever we would have to roll our sleeves, he's the kind of guy that had to cut them. Like, that would have
God.
To, because his arms are so big, he'd have to cut his sleeves to get his shit on and off.
Right.
Or else he'd have, like, purple arms all day.
Yeah.
And that's big arms. Like, that's, like, bigger
that's
than,
serious.
Like,
yeah, because military
like
uniforms.
24-inch arms. That's
yeah.
huge.
Military uniforms, for those who don't know, are not slim cut. They're pretty baggy all around. It's
yeah.
almost like you're wearing pajamas. So to have arms big enough to fill out the sleeves is pretty impressive.
100%.
I had to, like, triple fold mine to get them on my string beam.
My get-out story is when I was at fighter pilot school, these two hotshots challenged me and my buddy to a volleyball
okay.
volleyball contest, and we kicked their ass, and we
yeah.
kicked them off of the court and never to return again.
That's pretty dope, dude.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Wow.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
You know what would have made your junior enlisted life better, Kate? If you would have had a mattress in the barracks that was called by Lisa Mattress, 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 because Lisa Mattress is changing the mattress industry, and they are going to give stoolies $100 off their mattresses at lisa.com/barstool, because no one wants to spend hours visiting those awkward showrooms. You kind of seem like you would like mattress salesmen.
I would totally be into that.
Yeah. So maybe
appreciate good comfort. Yeah.
Yeah. They just teach you about the good mattresses and shit like that. That's like right up your alley. If I've followed your tweets closely enough, it seems like you'd definitely be a fan of big-time mattress salesmen, for sure.
I feel like they would have really good pickup lines. Like, you want to help me test this out? You want to?
Yeah. This one's even better for snuggling, if you know what I mean. Maybe we can even
yeah.
hold hands afterwards. Lisa Mattresses start at just $5.25. It's quickly becoming a conveniently place that you can do it all online, made to order, shipped, and compressed box to your door. Unboxing the mattress, which is half the fun, took us less than 5 minutes whenever we did it with my daughter after the Super Bowl last year. She still talks about how much she loves that mattress and not so sure about ordering online. Lisa gives you a 100-night risk-free trial. You can even send it back with sex stains on it, and they won't even give a fuck. At Lisa, it's all about quality. The incredible comfort Lisa mattresses is 100% American-made and comprised of three highly quality foam layers that provide cooling, contouring, and pressure relief. Over 10,000 five-star customer reviews. You can trust this mattress is the right pick. Lisa.com/barstool to receive $100 off Lisa mattress today, just for our stoolies.
I heard it soaks up CLP like a champ.
Yeah, there'd be perfect. CLP lube flying fucking everywhere, yeah. Man. I think one of the worst parts about having a mattress is whenever when it first comes, it's all nice and new. So even when you take your sheets off to, like clean it, like clean your sheets, after a while, when you have like the orange stain like on it, is that just me? Like, do you have like an orange stain underneath your sheets?
I don't know, Jeff. Like might body just size, be you, buddy.
Okay. No. All right, that's just me?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know.
I thought we were in the trust tree.
Staff Sergeant Chaps, do we need to talk about hygiene?
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe those baths aren't working for you?
See, everybody has a thing that they don't know is not normal when they're growing
Maybe
up.
That's my poop knife. Like, I don't know why, like, I exude, like, an orange dye, but it's definitely there. I'll take a picture when I get home.
Okay.
I'm not embarrassed about it. It's part of who I am. It's part of who I am as a Christian, first of all. So if you want to shame me for my religion, that's fine.
All right.
I didn't know we were doing that kind of thing on the podcast.
Anyway.
Yeah. I also, one last thing before we get into Save Rounds Alibis and the next round of, we still don't have a segment name, unnamed segment. We're going to figure out what the segment's name is. But I wanted to talk about Chelsea Manning because that was a story that was brought up several times to us, like via Twitter or wherever. What do you guys think about her? First, what do you think about her, like, in general? I know that's a super loaded question, and everybody's like,
How do I sound woke yet say what I feel at the same time? I don't know. I saw the campaign ad she's running for, is it Congress?
Senate, yeah.
Senate, she's running for a Senate seat. It was like if me and my friends made, like, a public access commercial. It was terrible. And I just feel like I don't care if you're purple and you have, like, a dildo growing out of your forehead. You want to run, that's fine. Be you. Do your thing. But I feel like she uses that as kind of an excuse to get away with being a giant turd now. It was, like, National Law Enforcement Appreciation the other day, and she had this big fuck the police post. And I don't know. I just think she could have taken this in a really positive direction and instead – it's kind of become an embarrassment.
Like, yeah,
I think that's fair. And I think a lot of people, when you talk about hiding behind what she presumably is hiding behind, you forget, or people might forget, that she's a traitor.
Yeah.
At the heart of things, you know, what she did was, you know, against the United States Constitution, which she swore an oath to defend. And that's my biggest problem.
And I can understand, I don't agree with it, but I can understand her stance that she took there. I think that you can have the argument that that she was trying to do the right thing, and I think that there's tons of people who believe that she was really trying to do the right thing, and I think that's an okay position to have. It's not one that I have, it's not one that I agree with, but as, like, a hopefully remotely intellectual person, I can understand what her thoughts were behind it. I think whenever you become in that situation, you do some of the things that she did while she was in prison. I think that she has to take the high road at some point. And I don't think she's doing that. Mm-hmm. I think that she's kind of flaunting things in her face. And I don't care that she's transgendered. I'm super supportive of that. Like, that's not what it's about at all. It's about the stances that she's taken since then and how she goes about it. Like, I want my senators. One of the biggest problems that I have with President Trump is that I don't think he's presidential. I don't think he befits the office of the presidency. She certainly wouldn't she wouldn't fit the office of a senator either. Mm-hmm. And one, I don't think, even if she was elected, I think it would be very much like Roy Moore, where Republican leadership said that if Roy Moore gets in, we will expel him from the Senate. Like, right. You can have a state, even if Maryland voted for her to be their senator, I think that the Democratic Party would be like, you are not going to be a senator.
Yeah, it would be too much of a distraction, I think, that she would even be able to get anything accomplished. But I want to take a step back, because I disagree with you to an extent, where you said her intention for what she was doing, you understand her intention. That's great if she thought what she was doing was a good thing. It doesn't change the fact that what she was doing was wrong. Like, if you're one of your daughters took your wife's wedding ring and put it in the garbage disposal or the washing machine because she wanted to wash mommy's ring for her and it completely ruined the ring, you know, it doesn't make it what she did.
I think that's,
an extreme
example. I think that's
an
apple to oranges example, where I think a better example could be on their side is when it was technically wrong and illegal and treasonous for George Washington to lead an army against England. And I think that if you go, you can go against your government and what's technically legal and still have an ounce of morality. Legality doesn't designate morality. I think you can be moral while being illegal.
You can be moral by being illegal or legal?
I think you can be both at the same time. I think you can be moral and be illegal.
I just think that's...
I don't think they're completely separate. If right. that, then America should have never taken place.
Maybe. I don't know.
It was 100% treason for us to go to war against England. 100%. That's treasonous.
Yeah, but that was treasonous against England. That wasn't treasonous against our Constitution.
We weren't anything yet.
Yeah, exactly. So how is that treasonous against the Constitution?
They knew
exist?
It. I mean, even the Founding Fathers knew that it was treason. That's why they wrote the letter. They knew it was.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, I think as it stands on what she did, yes, it was illegal, but I also think it was immoral in that she went against her leadership.
Yeah, I understand, and I'm not saying that I agree with her. I understand okay. those who are making that fight that morality is not equal legality, and I agree with that. I think that they can be synonymous, or they
right.
can be
right. No, I agree with
autonomous.
You to an extent, but I think that the rules are just a little different in the military, evident by
sure.
the fact that we have our
the
own
rules
set
are
of
definitely
laws.
The rules are definitely the same, but the principle of the ethics behind it, I think,
right.
remain there.
Okay.
I think that's what gets me, is that there's so many really good conversations to be had about this,
mm-hmm.
and she has that platform, but instead it's these wacky attention-grabbing posts with weird emojis.
Right,
and, like,
do it in a grown-up
way.
It's
more for attention.
Yeah. doing it in a grown-up way.
Right, that could have definitely gone in a totally, so that's my beef with Chelsea Manning.
There we go. Yeah, like, I don't have, like, the main things that she's known for being, like, transgender and shit, I don't give a fuck about that. Like,
no,
good
no,
on
no.
her. I'm happy for her that she's living the life that she feels like she was designated to lead or
sure.
destined to lead. I don't agree with what she did. I certainly understand. I don't agree with what people say are the good parts of what she did, but I certainly understand them.
All right, that's fair.
All right, my bookie, it's getting close to the end of the time for you to be able to bet on shit. The NFL playoffs are here. It's the AFC Championship game, NFC Championship game. If you're going to make a bet on those games, do it with MyBookie. MyBookie.ag, promo code zero. You're going to get a 50% bonus. Visit MyBookie.ag today. It's the internet's favorite place. I have a bunch of money on the Jags to win the Super Bowl. I was going to write a blog about it today. I remembered before the season started, I went to Vegas and put $50 down on the Jags to win the Super Bowl, and I forgot about it until this morning. They were 500-1 odds. So if they win, I get $25,000.
That's not bad.
Pretty dope.
Do you still have the ticket?
You can buy, like...
Yeah, I still have the ticket at home.
Nice.
You could buy, like, a gold poop spatula.
I'm going to have, like, the greatest poop knife of all time.
Yeah.
Greatest poop knife of all time. Use mybookie.ag with promo code zero to get 50% off. You're not going to regret it. You play, you win, you get paid with mybookie. Mybookie.ag, promo code zero. Any save rounds, alibis?
Right now I'm reading a book called Outlaw Platoon, and hopefully we'll have the author, Sean Parnell, join us once I finished up that book. But it's a great book, and what's really interesting for me is that I'm finding so many parallels about my own time as a platoon leader, so it's been very enjoyable for me, and he's a phenomenal writer. It's very gripping. It's very interesting. Another look inside the war that's going on in Afghanistan. So if you're looking for a book to read, I suggest Outlaw Platoon. Follow along, and then we'll be discussing it after with the author.
There we go. Kate, you got anything?
All I can think is follow us on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for the electric chair. I want to know what your opinion of what you think Sunday's going to go like.
Oh, Sunday. We're doing
let's talk a little football.
Little talking Jags?
Yeah.
All right, so here's kind of what I think.
Just jag off real quick.
We're doing jag off. I wrote a blog about it this morning. I think the key to the game, they've got to come at it like a Patriots-style defense. I think that, and what I mean by the Patriots are very notorious. They're famous for not letting the best player beat them.
Right.
They are going to shut down the guy who usually is your best player. I think that we've got to do that. I think we've got to do that with Miles Jack covering Gronk, even though Jack isn't the best coverage guy. But I think you do that with him and Tashaun Gibson over the top, or Barry Church over the top, the two safeties. And then because you have Jalen Ramsey and you have A.J. Boye, who are two of the best cornerbacks in the league, I think you match them up one-on-one, no safety help at all. They are going to have to take Hogan, and they're going to have to take Danny Amendola, and they are going to have to be by themselves and match up one-on-one, no safety help at all. Have the other safety kind of play up because they are going to get screened to fucking death. Mm-hmm. Because the Jaguars not only have a good front four, they have a good front eight. Like, they have four, and then they have depth that comes in, and those guys are all Pro Bowl-type players, too. Like, even the depth. Brady has historically struggled against teams who can rush the passer with just the front four, not allowing blitz. He will kill you if you blitz him.
Right.
The Jags are 30th in the league in blitz percentage. They never blitz, but they are second in the league in hits. So they can get to you based on your front four. If they do that, if they play cover man press on the outsides and they can control Gronk a little bit, I think they have a good chance. They've got to force at least two turnovers. Two turnovers from the Patriots, zero turnovers from the Jags. Jags win. One turnover from the Jags, one from the Patriots. The Patriots will win. It's a turnover game.
I think that is an excellent X's and O's analysis of the game and how it might play out and what the Jags need to do. I'm going to take it to a higher level because around these parts, it's just Patriots and they're going to win because they're the best no matter what. They're just going to win. Now, the Patriots do have that experience, but at the same time, this isn't week two. This is the AFC Championship game. Mm. The Jaguars have proved to themselves and to everyone that they have the confidence that they can beat anybody. And at the end of the day, it's still the NFL. The disparity in talent is not that great to where I think on any given Sunday, as the cliche goes, any team can win. So I do not think it is a foregone conclusion that the Patriots are just going to walk into the Super Bowl. I think the Jaguars can beat them. Now, will they? I don't know, but I think they can.
I think there's only three position groups across both teams that the Patriots are better than the Jags. They're better at the tight end position because of Gronk. Gronk is just, he's the greatest tight end to ever play the game. They also have the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. Those are two pretty big things when you have the two greatest of all time on two positions, and then they have a better group of wide receivers. Other than that, every other offensive line, defensive lines, safeties, cornerbacks, running back, all of them would be check marks to the Jags.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Fournette can step up and have a nice game and you guys can control the clock and
if they have
Brady
the lead,
off the
if
field.
If Jags have the lead in the fourth quarter with the Jags having the ball with less than 8 minutes, I think that they can put together the type of drive to
run
the clock out. That's why you drafted Fournette in the top five.
Yeah. We'll see. Kate, any thoughts on the Birds this weekend?
I was just sitting here thinking about what appetizers I'm going to eat during the game.
There we go.
That's important.
Yeah, I got the little hot dogs, bagel bites. So, yeah, now I'm pretty pumped. Yeah.
There we go. Love bagel bites. All right, that's the show. Thanks for tuning in. Let us know how you like Platoon Room. I have fun. I think it's nice to have a little levity every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah, let us know what you think. Hit us up, ZeroBlock30 on Insta, Twitter. We don't do Facebook. We probably should because there's a lot of military people on Facebook, but we're too cool for Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook's for lamos.
Yeah, unless you like Facebook. Thanks for listening in, Facebook users. God damn it, Brendan. It's on the retreat.